It's time for Making Sausage, where we talk politics. We find out what might be behind some of the things our elected officials and the candidates are doing, how government works, and we meet our elected officials. Today, we have our DFL commentator, Colleen Nardone, who's also an election judge. First, thanks for your time. Next Tuesday, can you believe it's actually a week, less than a week, you'll be clocking in.
And what's your day like on Tuesday?
It starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. We have to be there setting the polling place up. And it means that we have to move faster than you've ever seen me move. So we get everything all set up, and then we have different stations that you notice when you come in to vote. And we go through the voting with everybody, which is kind of interesting the first hour or two, but by 8 o'clock, it's getting pretty routine. And let's see, what else can I say? Oh, for people are coming to vote, if you are over 40 and finding that small print is hard to see, bring your reading glasses. I've had people come back and say, I have to give this ballot back to you, I can't see it.
Really?
Yeah. And then, of course, they're done. I usually offer to read it to them.
Hey, you mean if you go into the booth and come out, that's it?
Once you leave the premises.
Oh, the premises.
If he could, and that's why I did want people to do this, because all the judges don't do what I do, but I bring reading glasses for people to borrow. But it is an issue with a lot of people, because sometimes they're embarrassed and don't say that's why they've decided not to fill in all the squares.
Did you vote early?
I did, yes.
Okay.
And there's been a great number of people that have. Every time I've gotten up there to pick up the ballots for the health facilities, I've seen lines of people voting, which I think is a good sign that people are interested in spite of the best efforts of some of the candidates to discourage us. But
maybe they just want to get it over with as fast as possible.
And this item we're going to talk about this morning is one of the things that raises questions in a polling place, because people come in with candidates in mind. And when they see the ballot question, the first thing they'll say to us is, what does this mean? And we can't say anything.
Oh, you need to find out before you get to them.
You have to explore it before you get there, because we can't interpret it for you. Any interpretation is, in a sense, however you interpret it gives away how you feel, usually. Mm-hmm. And we had some issues with that a few years ago, that different judges around the wider area started to say, it just means that. And all of us within reasonable distance of the courthouse got a visit from County Auditor Walker, who said, do not ever do that.
But can you tell them that not voting on an amendment is a no vote?
We do tell them that, but it's also written on your ballot, when you've got that great big, it doesn't have a lot of different offices on it, but you're going to find that the back has mega judges, and I think it makes it look to people like there's all kinds of people, all kinds of things to vote for, although most of them are unopposed.
All right, so here's the amendment. Should state legislators set their own salaries, or should a totally independent group decide how much lawmakers are paid?
And that's what it's asking. You want to hear the exact language?
Yeah.
Which says the same thing Scott says, only more formally. Shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to remove state lawmakers' power to set their own salaries and instead establish an independent citizens-only council to prescribe salaries of lawmakers? I think it was clearer when Scott read his summary, but that's what'll be on your ballot.
How much approximately do legislators make?
Okay, I looked that up.
Okay.
In their current salary is $31,500. However, in addition to that salary, they can claim per diem expense payments for the days in which they are in St. Paul. And that can add up to another $10,000. And they get actual expenses reimbursed.
Oh.
For mileage, for example. I don't know if they get their what they get for their meals. That may have to come out of the per diem, but they get mileage and lodging.
You see, if you were a legislator from St. Paul, Minneapolis, or one of the metro, you just go home every night. But if you're from up north here, you probably have to have a place to rent or something like that, too.
That can get to be very expensive.
Yeah.
You get people, sometimes people will share an apartment, get a larger apartment or even a house and share it. But if anybody has ever rented down there, you know that getting a place for 5 months is not easy.
Right.
Yeah. But that's what, and that's the other thing.
Well, I've already seen an ad, a political ad, accusing the incumbent of raising his or her salary. I can't remember and I don't even remember what party it was, but you know, one of these paid ads that says he or she would rather raise her salary rather than fund your school or fund veterans.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That is an attack ad against Rick Nolan, which isn't even true, because the law prevents them from raising pay for the time while they're in there. They can only set the salary for the next biennium.
Oh, when they might not even be in.
Yeah, apparently because he was reelected, that was, you know, sort of extrapolated into something like that. And legislators can't set their own for the biennium in which they're serving either. They have to be reelected to collect on it, and they will even if this commission is established.
So why is this on the ballot? Why is this a...
It's on the ballot because some legislators thought that it would be a good idea. And an amendment has to pass both houses of the legislature and be signed by the governor, although he can't veto it. Amendments are not vetoable. But they have to pass it, and then it's longer. I don't have the full language. It's about half a page long, and it says the same thing, but with lots more language in it. And they will establish a council, and I did get some information off the Secretary of State's website, I think, or the League of Women Voters. They both have good stuff out there that say who would be on it, and they would establish a council. Some members appointed by the governor and some by the Supreme Court, and they would have to equally represent Democrats and Republicans. None of the members on this council could be current or former legislators, state officials, elected officials, lobbyists, or current state or judicial employees. So it takes a lot of people with vested interest out of the mix.
Trying to think of anybody
I hope the two of you are willing to sign up because it does take, you know, a lot of people that would be knowledgeable. I also looked into how it's done in other places, just as a reference point. And there are states that do it. I mean, I can't say the exact number, but what I thought was interesting, in three states that have these councils, the legislators got pay raises regularly and do make more than Minnesotans. In some, they make less. So it really isn't going to, you know, there's not a rule of thumb to say once this happens they're going to make more money. In fact, in California, their salaries were reduced when they put one of these councils in. I think what would be, in my opinion, would be better would be if this were established. I had to think long and hard about whether I wanted this. And there is the argument that, you know, they should be responsible for the decision. But on the other hand, I think it should be very transparent. I don't think the current system that publishes a salary, which we talked about, $31,500, isn't very much even for a part-time job, that is that where you want this level of expertise and commitment. But then they can slide in that per diem.
Mm-hmm.
And they adjust the per diem every year when they start, every biennium when they start over. And so when you will listen to some of them talk about, we don't make hardly any money, we only get this small salary. Well, you know, not quite true. Because they can set the per diems to kick their salary up considerably. And I would like to see one salary plus actual expenses. Because as Scott points out, it costs a lot more to go from Grand Rapids or the Iron Range or Duluth mm-hmm. to the cities than it does to come from Roseville, for example.
I remember two representatives from Northern Minnesota staying in a motel for one session. I don't know if it was a special session or if it was the whole session.
I think some motels in the immediate area set aside rooms that they do rent out long-term mm-hmm. that way. In fact, I think I know some that stay there. And it's convenient because they're really close. They can right. walk to the state office building from some of the motels downtown. And it probably, if they can work something out, there isn't any more expensive than renting an apartment.
I do remember seeing, because I worked at the state office building for about 10 years, seeing the legislators walk from the hotel that's closest
and
to
I
it.
And I both know which motel
yes,
gets
we
most
do,
of them.
Which just got a renovation, by the way.
I know when I went down to lobby for an issue that was important to ARDC many years ago, I ran into one of the legislators from the range who said to me, for years I heard that most the work was done in the bar at this hotel.
At the motel.
Then I got elected and found out it was true.
But we're talking with Colleen Nardone this morning about the constitutional amendment that will be on the ballot when you go on Tuesday, or you may vote for before early, and it has to do with whether there should be a legislators should have the power to raise their own salaries, or there should be an outside council to do that.
Or if there should be an outside group. And you have probably seen some letters to, this is an interesting one. I've seen a couple letters to the editor opposing this. I have seen none favoring it. And when I researched it in different newspapers and through the League of Women Voters, it was one of the things that stood out. There is no advocacy group promoting it and no advocacy group opposing it.
Hmm.
And they said usually, at least especially in recent times, there have been intense battles over constitutional amendments. And this one is just sort of like, it's out there. The citizens can do as they wish for it. And I don't think it's going to pass. That's my guess, because I think so many people will look at it and say, where did this come from? What's it all about? And leave it blank.
Which is a no vote.
And that's a no vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went into our discussion seriously that I wasn't sure how I would vote. And now that we've come out of this discussion, I'm still not sure how I would vote on this. But in the past, and not on this specific amendment, you have said that generally you don't like constitutional amendments. You like the legislature to do the job of the legislature. Is that a fair expression of your opinion?
Yes, it is.
Opinion?
Usually that would be true. I think sometimes passing a constitutional amendment becomes a cop-out. They get something and they say, well, you wanted it. You're the public uh-huh. voter for it. It's just the public will of the public. But we do send them there to make decisions. I think setting your own salary comes into a slightly different area, because it can become, as you pointed out, such a campaign a fodder for the next election, that if you vote yes, and then you are risking that they're going to say all he cares about or she cares about is the money, they're voting for this, always raising the salaries. And I think it's difficult sometimes, especially if you come from a depressed area, to vote for a pay raise down there when you know you have people back in your district that are struggling. And like I said, I would rather see a system that put reasonable salaries out there for them and close the back doors for other races.
More transparency in that per diem
stuff. I think it
stuff,
will promote transparency, although I have to be completely honest with you. When I walked out of there, I thought, is that the right vote or not? but I think the nice thing about it is that if it establishes the council and who can't be on it, but it does leave some flexibility in the sense that it doesn't name the individual people. It doesn't quite name except for the equal division among parties, it doesn't say they have to be any certain thing, that they have to come from a certain area or represent a certain group or anything like that. So it does leave room to tweak it if the membership isn't working going forward.
Okay, now, if someone has never voted or is inclined not to vote, how easy is it for them to vote, number one? Can they get a lot of help from a judge? You mentioned there are limits on what an election judge can do, but I guess this is the last time we'll talk to you before the election. How would you encourage someone to vote who is sitting on the fence?
It depends on the kind of help that they think they might need. For example, if there's somebody that's going to go in and say, gee, I can't... And I could have done this for the people that come in that I give glasses to, but they would probably have felt awkward. We have an AutoMark machine, so if it's a vision issue, it can bring your ballot up on a screen like like a computer monitor and make the print as large as you need. If it's that your vision problem is such that even that won't work, you can hear it. There are
really?
Headphones like what we use here in the studio, and it will read the ballot to you.
But what about someone who's never voted?
Okay.
How would you persuade them to try it this time?
Well, first I tell them to see who's out there that they want to vote for or against. And I find more people like to come in because they're motivated to vote against than for. But if they're afraid they're going to come in and make a fool of themselves, we explain the ballot to everybody. I mean, if you came in, I would show you the ballot and say, okay, Scott, you'll notice this, and you fill in the little circle completely so that nobody stands out as getting a lot of instruction that other people don't need if that's going to make them uncomfortable. And at that point, you're free to ask any questions about the how to do it's. We don't answer questions about candidates. We don't answer questions about the amendment. But we will review with you if you say, well, I'm not clear how many can I vote on for school board, for example. We can go back and go over that with you and say there are this many down here. You get this many to vote for.
Okay, and we do have early voting this year. Do you expect a smaller turnout on Tuesday as a result of
that? We have been really discussing this among a lot of us who are election judges and who are just people who are watching what's going on. And if usually a presidential election is a huge turnout, and the early voting is going to certainly siphon off some of that. But if the turnout was big enough to begin with, we may see about what we're used to seeing. But I think early voting has certainly facilitated things for a lot of people who can't or find it uncomfortable to get in during the hours. The polls are open, and I have to be careful saying this, because in a very small township or community, they can have fewer hours. But generally, they're open from 7 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. And if you're standing in line at 8 o'clock, you get to vote. But That's still not, if you were commuting, for example, sure, out of town, you might find it difficult. And so the early voting has helped that. And I notice in Itasca County, at least, the auditor's office is even going to have hours on Saturday to make it easier for
this
people.
This Saturday?
This Saturday.
Okay.
So we will, every opportunity is being made. And again, I'd say inform yourself, go to the polls, and
Colleen recommended the Secretary of State's website has a lot of information on voting, as does League of Women Voters. Colleen, we did have a call from someone who is curious about, she just moved to the area, so her driver's license doesn't reflect her address yet. How can she vote or get registered?
Okay, well, she takes that to her polling place and brings, like, something that will show that she lives there, a rent receipt. I have to say, this is getting harder for people because so many people pay their bills electronically.
Right.
So print something out, and a utility bill. It's something that's got the address on it, if she has the expired driver's license, just so we know for sure she's in the right precinct.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. If you have other questions or comments, we're getting lots of calls. People wanting to know more about voting, I think.
All right. Heidi's grabbing the phone to check our calls. And how is the counting?
Oh, okay.
How does the counting occur at the end of the day? Is it automated or is it?
They have a new computer. They're counted, yeah. And we talked about this last time too, that there are all different steps. The machines, as you know, in your precinct count them. Then we take the ballots and those tapes down to the county auditor, where they go through and validate that they get the same result we get.
You mean they look at each ballot?
No. They put things
in. Oh, okay, I see.
And
they put it in their own machine,
right,
or counter.
And then they combine them with the absentee ballots that have come in for each precinct.
Are the absentee ballots counted beforehand?
Yes, they are.
So
but
you
they
voted
have to
early,
merge the totals.
You voted early and that's already been counted?
I think it can be counted any time this week now.
Okay.
We did have one more question about someone who had moved like within the last week. So, and I don't think far from where she did live. So should she go to her old precinct?
No.
Okay.
Go to the place where you slept the night before. If you've moved, then go where you're sleeping every night now.
All right. Sounds great. If you have questions or
Holy
comments,
cow.
Send us an email, comments@kaxe.org. Colleen, thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And
get some sleep on Monday.
I'm going to have to.
That's
go to
right.
bed early.
So in essence, they count your vote. They count it twice, once at the machine where you vote and then the auditor's office. So they double check it.
But your vote is not counted twice.
Yeah, correct.
Yes. Okay.
It's checked.